Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ron, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Evan.
Well, thank you for walking a couple of booths over and joining me. How do you? You gotta love doing this postseason stuff, right?
You know, the postseason stuff, especially considering how the Mets season went.
Oh yeah.
You know, I always feel like the postseason for me is a gift to myself that I'm lucky enough to watch great baseball in October.
Are you bitter, because I am,
okay,
about some of these teams, not the Yankees necessarily or the Red Sox, who want to use bullpen guys to not only start games or go to them in the second or third inning like the Milwaukee Brewers have as a starting pitcher? Is it that tough for you to watch that this is what we've become?
You know, I find it not tough to watch, in fact, because I think what has happened for some of these ball clubs is they don't have enough quality starting pitching. Now, the Astros certainly do. The Cleveland Indians do. But there's a lot of teams that are in the post that, because of the off days you get in the postseason, they're going ahead and trying to get through these games with a bullpen. I'm watching it, though, and I will tell you that after watching Verlander and after watching Sale last night, still the best way to go is
yes,
to have that dominant starter who gets you deep in the game. And, I don't mind it because as an announcer, it's a really cool story to talk about. Would I prefer to watch the Mets trot out seven relievers or to watch Jacob deGrom start a game? That's an easy question to
yeah,
answer.
I think so. Well, like last night, I liked how Aaron Boone said, hey, I can't let this game slip away. Jay Happ, I know he's only thrown 44 pitches. I know it's still early in this game, but I'm getting him out of here. I've got this really good bullpen. That I like. If you've got a weapon in your bullpen, which the Yankees do, they have like seven weapons, I think that strategy makes a lot of sense because you are putting the hammer down early saying this is our way to keep ourselves in the game.
I think Aaron Boone's managing was impeccable last night. He knows he has a team that has a lot of thunder. So if you don't let the game get out of hand, you're always going to be in it. In fact, watching the game last night, coming out of the game, despite the Yankees losing, they did a lot of things really well that the Red Sox didn't do. The Red Sox really had a stumbling, bumbling kind of relief corps that trying to get the ball to Kimbrel, other than Rick Porcello, their starter. So it's going to be interesting for Alex Cora. He might have to do what Houston did last year and use a lot of his starters to get some innings or get some outs before Kimbrel. But I thought Aaron was spot on. There were two chances in that game, and they needed a hit. Once in the fourth by Andujar, he struck out.
Yep.
And then Gleyber Torres struck out against Workman on a 3-2 curveball that was in the dirt. Those two at-bats, they get a base hit there. The Yankees win that game last night.
Oh, yeah. And I think if they win the game last night, they may well win the series.
Right.
And going back to that fourth inning, see, to me, the fourth inning was bigger than any other inning because they had a chance to not just get runs against Chris Sale, get him out of the game. Because we didn't know how Cora was going to manage him. And when Hicks had that 11-pitch at-bat, that felt like it could have been a turning point. An 11-pitch at-bat, base hit, Yankees make Chris Sale throw a ton more pitches. Who knows? Maybe they get him out of the game earlier, and against that bullpen, that looks like a victory.
I think it would have been a victory in two ways. One, you don't allow Sale to come out of a game feeling really good about himself, because that's what happened.
Sure.
Only giving up the two runs in five innings. There were relievers that gave it up. But secondly, you would have got guys like Brazier, Barnes, and other guys, and it took four pitchers, for the Red Sox to get seven outs. So it worked in last night's game. So in a micro kind of world, it was great for the Red Sox. They're up 1-0. But to get to 11 wins, to win all of it after a 108-win season, I think it's unsustainable to try to do it that way.
Yeah. What'd you think of Chris Sale? Because we all went into the game not knowing what to expect. What'd you think of his performance?
I thought his performance was unbelievable. I think that, including myself, we fell I think, deeply into how hard he's going to be throwing, as opposed to forgetting about what a good pitcher he is. Mixed in his slider, mixed in his changeup, threw enough fastballs to get by. But when I look at Chris Sale, and when they acquired him, they wanted him to be the hammer. I still think, even after last night's start, he's not really the hammer right now. It's kind of an unknown. When you watch him pitch at his best, and you've seen him at his best, major league hitters look awful against him. They didn't look awful against him last night. He did a great job, but he looks like he's hit a bull. And I think that that'll stop him from being the hammer that the Red Sox wanted in the post.
It felt like he threw a lot of his off-speed pitches. Do you think that's a nature of the Yankees being a team that could hammer a fastball? Do you think that's a nature of where he is right now?
I think it's where he is right now. I think that right now he feels as though he can't pitch at a 95 to 98 miles an hour velocity level for six innings in the game, for 2 hours. I think he knows that he's got to spin it, he's got to change up, and he's got to use all of his pitches. That's where he's at, and it's right, really where David Price is at, too.
Well, let's get to this guy, because he has not been good in the postseason. And there are guys, and I was going over it earlier, Clayton Kershaw's had some great postseason moments. He had one against the Mets. He pitched on short rest, down 2-1. Guy pitched brilliant. So it's in him. We know Kershaw could pitch well. David Price has barely ever done that. It seems like every postseason performance as a starter has been bad. Is it in his head, you think?
I certainly think it's in his head. You know, they say recognizing that you have a problem is the first way to cure it.
Right.
This is the first year I've really heard David Price kind of embrace that he's had a hard postseason, knows that he has to change it. You know, you just have to wear it when you have the kind of numbers he has. 0-8 and 13 starts in the postseason. But the great thing about the post, the redemptive quality about the post,
right,
is if he goes and throws 8 shutout innings and the Red Sox go up 2-0, that, you know, people remember the last thing that happened. So it can go a long way if he can put it together. But I was doing some stats and some crunching, getting ready for the game. In his last 26 and a third innings against the Yankees, he's given up 13 home runs. 13 home runs in the last 26 and a third. So there's a lot of things that are in his noodle that are going to have to be wiped out before he goes on the mound tonight.
Here's the weird thing about David Price's struggles against the Yankees. A lot of the Yankees he has struggled against were before these guys were here, and now he's struggling against guys who are here. So what is it? He stares at the logo and it freaks him out? What is it?
I think there's horses for courses. I think sometimes there's teams that just have your number over the years. I love Wrigley Field. Couldn't wait to get to Chicago. We had day games in the day. You'd have a big meal after the game at Morton's, have a big steak, whatever you're going to do. I could not get anyone out in that ballpark. I don't know why. I loved it. I matched up against that team well, but every start would be the same. I'd throw five scoreless and like three home runs in the next two innings, and they'd wipe me out. So I don't – sometimes it's unexplainable. I also think it can go past one team that you start pitching against, and all the new guys just know that when you get on the mound, our organization – always gives it to you.
Right.
And I think that's what's happened to David.
Talking to Ron Darling, what is going through the minds of the young player that's never experienced the postseason? Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar. There are guys in that room that experienced last year, and even a guy like Brett Gardner who's experienced many other postseason runs. But for your first time, what's going through your mind?
Well, whenever I think about the postseason, the slowest heartbeat wins, right? And I can say I've had some amazing moments in the postseason, and I've had some of the worst moments in the postseason. I can only remember the latter. I can never even remember any of the good times I had. But I know one thing is common with the bad ones I had, and that is trying to do too much, trying to be the hero, trying to get out of what that box of your talent that you have. So if you watched last night, you know, Andujar was kind of a cut and slasher anyway.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, he's going to swing at some bad pitches. Got himself out kind of last night. And Torres may be the same, especially against the 3-2 pitch of Workman, although it was a nasty pitch. I think for young players, what they really have to try to keep it as simple as they can, try to stay in the strike zone because they're so talented. Those two guys are so talented that anything in the strike zone that they go after, they're going to hit hard. When I said it last night, when Andujar comes up to the plate, he looks like a line drive waiting to happen.
Right.
He's just that good of a hitter. I say that. They probably know that. but being able to do it on the field with 35,000 or whatever here at Fenway Park rooting against you, it's a difficult thing.
I'll tell you, another guy I'm thinking about is Giancarlo, because for all these years he's in Miami playing, let's face it, meaningless baseball. I mean, he's playing in front of nobody. He's never playing a big game. Now, all of a sudden, this season has been a completely different animal. He's hearing boos from the home crowd, but then he's also hearing the euphoria from the home crowd. It's a home run in the wild card game. Everybody's going nuts. I know he's already experienced a playoff game with the wild card game, but last night, what did you see from Giancarlo Stanton?
Well, I think what happens when I watch Giancarlo hit now, and I've been watching him since the beginning of his career in Miami, and you know, of course, that awful thing with Mike Fiers in Milwaukee when he got hit in the face. And I think there are some games where his front side leaves early. He certainly knows that. Watching it, it's obvious to see. And he was stuck in one of those kind of games last night. I also think for the guy who hits the ball out of the ballpark, it can sometimes be very difficult because the pitchers you're facing now, you can't beat up on a fourth or fifth starter.
Right.
You don't have the guy that was just called up in roster manipulation from Las Vegas who really shouldn't be in the major leagues. So, you know, he is going to have to raise his level. Can he do it? Of course he can. And one swing of the bat could lock him in. He's a streaky hitter anyway, in my estimation. So last night was a bad streak. But all it takes is one good swing, one ball lined over, at the monster or over, and the next thing you know, he goes on a 5-for-9 with a couple of home runs.
Yeah.
So, you know, his thing is that he's a great hitter. I think there's a lot of impetus, a lot of a pressure on home run hitters to do that in the postseason. It's much more difficult.
Sure. MLB is on TBS. Of course, tonight's game, the Yankees against the Red Sox. One under-the-radar thing is Gary Sanchez's defense over the last two games. You've seen it. It's been a lot better. He's going to be tested tonight because you've got Tanaka, who will bounce the splitter, a Red Sox team that will run on you. They ran last night, and I thought Gary made a good throw. It wasn't on him. What have you seen from Gary Sanchez defensively the last couple of days?
Well, he doesn't really even seem like the guy that we were told had 34 pass balls in the last couple of years. I think that, you know, part of catching and part of being a good catcher is effort, you know? Yeah. And I think that these games are so big, and he realizes that he can't take a pitch off that. And I think also, you know, this was an embarrassing year for him, right? You know, he's not a 186 hitter. He's
right.
A, you know, he's a, this guy, his high end is going to be somewhere amazing. It's just too good of a hitter, too good of a player. So maybe I think what happens for a guy like Gary is that when you've had a lost year, you get to start over in the postseason. He's got amazing numbers, 5 home runs, I think, lifetime.
Oh, he kills Price.
Yeah, against David Price.
Yeah.
So expect him to have a big game. I think you just can wipe all that stuff away, and it's like start all over. Not only the defensive end, but the offensive end. He had a BB to third base last night that was caught by Nunez. I'm thinking, I'm betting that he's going to have a good post.
No, you're right. I mean, he's due, to say the least. I mean, just like on the other side, Jay Happ was due to struggle against the Red Sox. All the guy had done has pitched well against the Red Sox. He'd been great as a Yankee. He was due for a clunker. It was unfortunate when it occurred. It occurred in a postseason game.
Well, you know, I know that the runs, you know, he gave up a grand slam in his last start against Boston, and I know the runs were unearned, but grand slams are not unearned in your head.
Sure.
They stay in there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he was pitching around Steve Pierce.
It looked like it,
yeah. Right? And to pitch around him in front of J.D. Martinez, probably not the best move. That's how it works between pitchers and hitters. All of that history plays into how you face a guy, how you go after a guy, and you can't fault him for that. It's just he didn't have it. He couldn't throw strikes. And in a regular season game, I bet you Jay Happ would have figured it out.
Right.
Would have probably given you 6 innings.
I agree.
Might have given up 3, 4, 5 runs,
yeah.
Maybe 4 runs, and he would have had a nice professional kind of effort. But that doesn't happen in the postseason.
No, I mean, it's completely different. They don't have the patience for you. Would you do that if there was a guy, and Pierce is a good baseball player, don't get me wrong, and he's had great success against the Yankees, but are you fully aware of what a guy has done against you, and do you almost treat them the way it appeared he treated Pierce last night? To get to a guy in J.D. Martinez, I can tell you, I said this earlier, I don't care what J.D. Martinez's numbers are against Happ, he's a different guy now. He's one of the best hitters in baseball the last 2 years. Before that, he was a good player. Now he's a great player. But would you do that, knowing the individual numbers?
Never, because let me equate it to a guy I pitched against many, many times. Even if he was in a slump, I do not want to face Andre Dawson with people on base. I don't care if he's 0 for his last 15 against me. That just tells me he's due to do something bad against me. So, I think that pitchers and hitters both know the history. They know what has gone on, but this is a game of competition. So at some point, you can't really like just fold up your cards and say, okay, I'm not going to face you because you own me. You have to go, okay, let's keep competing, and I'm going to figure out a way to get you out, and I'm going to switch this at some point. Why not in a postseason game? Easier said than done.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, Ron, we'll be watching tonight. Games on TBS, ALCS, ALDS, all on TBS. And I appreciate you walking by and joining me for a few minutes, man.
Evan, thank you very much.
You're the best. The great Ron Darling.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.